Open your Bibles this evening, if you will, over to the 17th chapter of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 17. I hope I can, my brain is kind of scattered. We've had a lot of things going on here lately, and mine's going in 30 different directions, so I hope I can keep my mind on focused a little bit tonight. Luke chapter number 17 is going to be my text. Now tonight, I'm going to read just one verse of scripture to you for our text, and it is a very short verse of scripture, but even though it is a very short verse, it also I think has a very large message. And for some reason it is a message that we've been on here a little bit lately, last Sunday morning and our Sunday school this morning, and then even in the sermon this morning, this message will go along with that a whole lot. And by the way, last Sunday morning, I preached a message entitled, "It's Great," on the greatness of our salvation, and I had a couple folks come up and say, "Well, we got written our Bible, you just preached this on this certain date, hadn't been that long ago," and I said, no, that's not right, because I'm good at making sure I don't do that too much. I write things down, but I went back and checked, and I said, "Well, you are at least halfway right." How's that? I write a lot of outlines down in my Bible or in scraps of paper sometimes, stick it in my Bible. I'll be driving along and I'll think of a passage of scripture and I'll develop an outline. And then I usually try to keep track of when I preach that outline. But I look back and I said, well, they are right. All the main points was pretty much the same. However, you're also wrong because none of the subpoints. So it's a different sermon. That's okay if you change the subpoints. Now I said that. Now, so you were right and you were wrong. All right. And I was right. And we'll leave it at that. Anyway, I'll point that out because I try to keep decent records when you preach usually three times a week to the same people. I hate to hear somebody get up and say the same thing over and over again. It's dong ding and ding dong. And so I make every attempt not to do that. So let me tell you this. Luke chapter 17 is going to be my text tonight. I did go back and looked in January of 2013. I preached a message from this passage. And it was on these three illustrations that Christ gives in this passage. But I'm not going to preach that whole message over to you again. But I want to look at one verse. Now, the setting of this passage, and I've been thinking a lot about this, but the setting of the passage is that the Pharisees come to the Lord and they ask him when the kingdom of God would come. The answer that he gives to them and gives to us is very important. He says, you know what, you got to keep in mind that, listen, we will never know when that may happen. But what he says is that the kingdom will happen kind of like a flash of lightning that lightens up the sky very quickly. It will be that fast. And so basically the warning is, folks, we better heed that warning. Listen, we do not know the day or the hour when our Lord may come. And so the answer he gives us, teaches us what we call, theologians call, the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That just simply means he could come at any moment. We do not know the day nor the hour, and all these foolish date setters that are out there have proven themselves to be the fools that they really are. Listen, the point of the whole message is we're to live our lives as if he could come tonight. And so that is a very dire warning, I think, to all of us today. We do not know when our Lord may come, but we're to live as if he could come at any moment. I've often wondered, when I sit and daydream, I wonder, you know, not only what it will be like, but I wonder, you know, where I will be, what I will be doing when the catching away of God's people happens. So that's going on in our text. Now, the Lord, what happens in this passage, to give you the background, is the Lord uses three illustrations in this text to teach us the imminence of his return. He uses first, as I said, the illustration of lightning. He says, man, his coming is going to be so sudden and so quick. It's going to be like lightning, a lightning flash in the sky. It's going to be that sudden and that quick. Now, that agrees, of course, with what the Apostle Paul said in a number of places. Paul says it would be in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. That is faster than a blink. Paul said that, you know, it's going to happen like this. It's when they shall say peace and safety, then listen, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon woman with child, and they shall not escape. I'm telling you what the Bible teaches, that his coming is going to be that quick, it's going to be that sudden, you see. So you better be ready for the coming of the Lord. So he uses the illustration of lightning, and then he uses the illustration of Noah in this passage to describe what it will be like when Jesus comes back to this earth. And man, we know the story of Noah so well. In fact, what Jesus says here and also in other places, he says, listen, that day or in the coming of the Lord is going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. You know, he says, for in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were married, and they were given in marriage, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And he says, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, listen, what he meant by that is that they had been warned, they had been warned, and they had been warned. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. For something like 120 years, Noah preached that the judgment of God was coming. And here they were, just living out their lives. They were eating, they were drinking, they were married, they were given in marriage. And he said they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. By the way, I'll chase a rabbit trail. Have you ever seen these silly shows about the floods of that day and how it starts to rain real heavy and the water is rising, and there's a silly song about it rising up to the shin bones and to the knee bones, and they're pounding on the day of the door of the ark, begging to be let in. That's not the way it happened at all. God raised the fountains of the deep, and I'm telling you, the blink of an eye. It was not the rain that caused the worldwide catastrophic flood. God wiped them off the face of the earth in the blink of an eye. And Jesus said, that's exactly how it's going to be in the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, people's going to live their life, even though they have been warned, they're going to go on with their daily activities. It's like they're going to be here forever. And they will not know until the flood of God's judgment sweeps them away. That's a dire warning, isn't it? So he gives us those two warnings. And the third one in this passage of Scripture is always the one that interested me a lot, intrigued me. He said in one short verse, in verse number 35, I think it is, did I say, no, verse 32, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Now, let me just say that is a very short verse of Scripture. By the way, the shortest verse of Scripture is John chapter 11, right? Verse 35. Jesus wept. Well, this is not much longer than that. He just said, remember Lot's wife. Now, that's only three short words, but that is a very profound and far-reaching warning given to us by the Lord concerning his return to this earth. Remember Lot's wife. Now, it's interesting that he didn't tell us, he didn't command us to remember Abraham. Abraham was a great man of God. He didn't command us to remember Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. He didn't command us to remember Rahab or Ruth, though it'd be well to do that. He didn't command us to remember, I don't know, Joshua or Caleb or David or somebody like that. He said, no, you remember Lot's wife. Stir up your memory, your sluggish memories, and keep in mind one person that lived and died and passed through this life in her sin. And by the way, we're not even given her name, but remember Lot's wife. You see, that's always intrigued me. She is not somebody that did any great exploits for the Lord, as someone like Moses, or someone like Elijah or Elisha. She's not somebody that we would look at and think, man, she was just a vile, wicked sinner, you know, like Balaam or Ahab or somebody like that, or Jezebel. She was just there. And yet Jesus said, don't forget about Lot's wife. Now, why should we remember Lot's wife? What is it about her that we should keep in mind? Now, there's a few things we know. One, she was Lot's wife. She was married to a man named Lot. She lived in a place called Sodom. Why was she in Sodom? She was in Sodom because of the stupid idea of her husband Lot. Lot lifted up his eyes. He saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. Dollar signs went off in his eyes, and he chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. He is like so many church members I've seen today that base their decisions on this rather than this. I've seen it happen. They go somewhere, they move to a location, they leave a good church for this, for J-O-B. I couldn't tell you how many church members go to a place and they call back and they say, pray for me, I can't find a good church to go to. Well, duh, that should have been the first thing you look for, not the second or the third. But Lot saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. He didn't ask if there was a good church there. He didn't ask if there was a good school there for his children. He just saw dollar signs went off in his eyes, and he chose the well-watered plains of Jordan, took his wife and his daughters. And so here is his wife married to a guy named Lot, living in a place like Sodom with their children. Happens all the time. So we know a little bit about her. We know that God had sent two angels to warn Lot and his family about judgment that's coming upon Sodom. We know about the wickedness of Sodom. There's no use trying to gloss it over. It was not a place for a child of God to be, period, for any reason. We know about the wickedness of Sodom. You can't gloss it over. We know that when the people of Sodom, listen, it was a vile, wretched, wicked place. When the people of Sodom saw the two angels come to warn Lot and his wife about judgment that's coming, and they saw these two men, they go to Lot's house and they stand outside, send out those men to us that we may know them. We know what that means. You can't gloss that over. Lot said, listen, don't do this thing. Don't do this wickedness to these men. I've got two daughters that have never known a man. I'll send them out to you that you may know them. You know. I mean, they were vile, wretched, wicked, ungodly, filthy people. Got a lot of that going on today. We know God said, I'm going to destroy Sodom, Lot. You get your wife and your children and you leave. Get out. And he said, don't even look back. That's what he said. And we know what Lot's wife did. Lot's wife looked back, and she was instantly turned into a pillar of salt. Now, that's what we know. But I suggest to you there's a lot more we can learn from Lot's wife. And so Jesus said, I think it's very important, Jesus said, after he had given the illustration as lightning shining from the east even unto the west, that quick, and as he used the illustration of Noah, about it being like it was in Noah's day, he said, but listen, I don't want you to forget this. You remember Lot's wife. Don't forget about Lot's wife. So since Jesus said that, I'm going to do that tonight. I want us to remember Lot's wife. Now, here's why. I think there's a message in Lot's wife for both the saint and for the sinner also. There's a message and a warning in Lot's wife for both the saved and the lost. You had better not forget Lot's wife. And so I want to think about Lot's wife tonight. I want to give you three very basic things, and here's why I want to do it. I feel certain we have people sitting here tonight, those who do not profess to be saved and those who profess to be saved, who are doing some of the same things Lot's wife did. I feel sure there are those sitting here tonight who are making some of the same mistakes that Lot's wife made. Now, this is not a pleasant sermon. I feel sure that there's some here tonight that may end up the way Lot's wife ended up, you see. I mean, people have wondered why in the world she did what she did. Why did she die the way she died? I think there's important lessons. Now, so remember Lot's wife. Number one, this is very simple, and I'll shoot through this as quickly as I can. You need to remember her spiritual privileges. Now, I say this, and this is important because I want you to understand Lot's wife was actually blessed with a lot of spiritual privileges. In fact, she was blessed with the kind of privileges that not many people in that day had. You know, and so, I would say this, some of you sitting here right now, you have been blessed with privileges that not many people on this earth has had. And yet, I fear, just like Lot's wife, you are squandering them away. Just the same way she did. You're missing out on all the opportunities that comes along with those spiritual privileges. For example, she was privileged in her relationships. And what I mean by that, God had brought her into a place where she had some people, relationships with some people. For example, she saw the clear faith of Abraham. Now, by the way, Abraham had his shortcomings. We know of his failures on a number of different occasions. But I want to tell you something. She had the privilege to walk and talk with a man that God described as being a friend of God. That's what God said about him. Wouldn't that be glorious to have that said about you? Described Abraham as a friend of God. And Lot's wife had the privilege just to be in his company and have a relationship with him. I mean, she saw his dedication, you know, his commitment to God. Sure, he faltered and he failed sometimes, but Abraham had a consistent walk with God overall. She saw his sacrifice. She saw his commitment. She saw his walk. She saw his worship. Abraham's life was dotted with altars. Sure was. Oh, Abraham knew how to worship God. And she saw the clear faith of Abraham. She also saw the cloudy faith of Lot. Now, Lot, believe it or not, Lot was God's man. Now, it's hard to believe. If you just read the account in the book of Genesis of Lot and the foolish things that he did, you'd have trouble believing that Lot was a child of God at all. But Peter assures us that Lot was a righteous man. Isn't that hard to swallow? I mean, she saw time after time after time. How many times that God had to protect Lot just because of the foolish decisions that Lot made. She saw Lot being rescued in Genesis chapter 14 by his uncle Abraham. But she witnessed God's faithfulness to Lot so many times, even when Lot was not faithful to God. You see, boy, he was a pretty rotten fellow. I just got to tell you, God has been faithful to me. And I'm ashamed to say I've not been faithful to him many times. But she was privileged because of her relationships. Now, I just throw all that in. I want to tell you something. Some of you sitting here today, you have been privileged with some tremendous relationships God's brought into your life. I look back at my life. I think I was blessed above all young preachers on the face of the earth. God brought me into the company of some men that were men of God. They were not men of letters. They didn't have a doctor. I despise somebody calling himself Dr. So-and-so. I'm the preacher. That's all I am. They didn't have letters after their name, but man, they taught me some things. Some of it sunk in. I wish more of it had. But I was privileged to have those kind of relationships. I want to tell you something, young people, listen to me. If you've been raised in a Christian home, you have a Christian mom and dad, you are blessed because of that relationship. You are blessed because most people in this world do not have that. Now, I know they make mistakes. They're not perfect. They've messed up plenty of times, but you are blessed by that relationship. If you're blessed with a Christian husband or a Christian wife, you are blessed to have that relationship. A lot of people do not have that in their lives. But listen to me. Don't you dare make the mistake of thinking just because mommy's a Christian or daddy's a Christian or my husband's a Christian or my wife's a Christian, that means I'm a Christian. That's not it at all. You got to understand, though, that Lot's wife was blessed because of her relationship. Second of all, she was blessed, she was privileged because of her revelations. Just by that relationship with Lot and with Abraham, she saw a lot of great things. I mean, she was blessed with a lot of revelations. Now, I messed up, I guess, on my outline. First of all, she was acquainted with deity. That should be point number one on the screen. I remembered it, even though Nathan copied it down wrong. I blame it on Nathan. How's that? No. She was acquainted with deity because of that relationship. Do you understand? Because of who her husband was and because of who her husband's uncle was, she was taught who God was. Right? She was taught who God was. She was taught of the necessity of and how to approach God. She was taught the importance of worshiping God. I mean, just by that relationship with Abraham and with Lot, she was acquainted with deity. She also, second of all, she was aware of the destruction that was coming. I mean, she was blessed that by two angels coming to her husband's house, her house also, and warning them that, listen, judgment is coming upon Sodom. You better go. You better flee from the wrath to come. She was blessed because of her relationships. She was blessed because of her revelations. She was also blessed or privileged in her responsibilities. Now, what I mean by that, it may not sound like a blessing, but it really is. She sat under the sound of the gospel a big part of her life. And you know what? There's many of you sitting here tonight have sat in God's house since before you can remember. You know what? That's a blessing. I read about the letter about the folks in Africa that we looked at her pictures the other day, and see them walking sometimes miles just to get to church. Some of you won't hardly, if you have to drive over 30 minutes, you think it's a hardship. Just to get to service. Some of you have been blessed by sitting in God's house since you were a wee little thing. And I'll tell you something. Every time you sit in God's house, that's only increased your responsibility. That has multiplied the judgment that's against you. Because how, you know, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. You've been blessed more than any people on the face of this earth to sit under the sound of the gospel time and time and time again. That multiplies your responsibility. That magnifies the judgment that is against you. In other words, will you sit in God's house once again and refuse to obey what God said? Will you dare go out the doors again tonight because you've had another opportunity to sit under the sound of God's word? And will you dare have the audacity to go out and say, well, one of these days, you better remember Lot's wife? It was that sudden. I hope I'm making sense. What I'm saying is, remember her spiritual privileges. I gotta go. Number two, remember also her spiritual problems. Now, I think just as much as her privileges teach us a great lesson, her problems also teach us a great lesson. People have been wondering for years. I've wondered a lot of things when I read the scripture. Number one, I wonder what in the world Adam thought when the love of his life offered him the fruit of that tree. Why on earth would he take it? God had told him very plainly, don't do it. I don't know, but he did it. His own rebellion. But I've also wondered, why on earth did she look back? You know, what possessed her to do a knuckleheaded thing like that when God said, "Don't you get out of here, don't even look back"? Well, I think the answer lies in her spiritual condition, in her spiritual problem she had. Number one, she had a problem with her faith, which is disbelief. She looked back because, you know what, basically in the heart, she really didn't believe God. I don't know what she was thinking. I don't know if she thought God was bluffing. You know, God really wouldn't do it. Let me tell you something. God does not bluff. God means what he says, and he says what he means. Just like some of you, what on earth? I know the biblical reason for it, but I can't help but wonder, how can you sit under the sound of the gospel over and over and over again? Some even says, I know I'm lost, and yet you sit there and you won't do what you know you should do. It blows my mind. Do you believe God will not judge you? That's the way some of us are. Some of us think, in fact, there's a verse that says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the Son of Man are fully set in him to do evil. It's a very foolish thought. God does not bluff. God does not play games. God will judge. So she had a problem with her faith, which is disbelief. She had a problem with her face, which was disobedience. She outright disobeyed God. Flat out. It's astounding because she'd been blessed by being told very clearly by God, don't do it. You know what tears my heart out? And I say this is a warning to even some professed saved people sitting here today. You know what you should not be doing, yet you do it anyway. You know what you should be doing, and you won't do it. It blows your mind. You're outright disobedient to God. You better remember Lot's wife. She had a problem with her faith. She had a problem with her face. She had a problem with her focus, which was deception. Now, I throw this one in because I guarantee you, everybody around her, she fooled a lot of people. Her uncle was the great man of God. Her husband's uncle, Abraham, was a great man of God, the father of nations, the father of a multitude, the one in which the promised seed would go through. Her husband, even though he made some goofball mistakes, her husband was a man of God, and everybody thought Lot's wife was a saved woman. You know what? I got a feeling there's a lot of folks in our churches today can be pastors, deacons. You think you've fooled a lot of people. You made a profession of faith, you've been baptized in a church, and that's about all you've done. You better remember Lot's wife. You better remember Lot's wife. Very dire warning. So remember her spiritual privileges, remember her spiritual problems, and then last thing, remember her spiritual punishment. Now I want to close this out because the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Job said, he that reaps to the wind shall reap the whirlwind. God, listen, God is going to judge one day. And let me give you three things, folks, in closing here. Her judgment, number one, it was sudden. When judgment came, it was swift and it was sure. She, in an instant, she became a pillar of salt. Isn't it amazing? You can go for years in your sin and your hypocrisy, but let me tell you something. When it comes, it's going to come suddenly. Her judgment was sudden. Her judgment was serious. I mean, the Bible says she became a pillar of salt. The judgment of God fell on her, and there was no, she was swallowed up with the wrath of God. There was no reprieve. There was no second chance. Right? No appeal. It was serious. And lastly, it was settled. The Bible says it is appointed on the man once to die, and after this, the judgment. When judgment comes, there's not going to be a reprieve whatsoever. It's done. There is no do-overs. Now, so remember, yeah, remember, his coming is going to be like the lightning that lights up the sky that quick. Pshoom. That's sudden. His coming is going to be in the, like it was in the days of Noah. But man, I think there's a big message in it. You better remember Lot's wife. Some of you have been blessed with tremendous spiritual privileges in your life. You get to sit under the sound of the gospel time and time again. How many more opportunities do you think you're going to have? How many more chances do you think you're going to have in this life? You better remember Lot's wife. Let's stand. And I'll quit.